There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, big stories, the bigger they are, sometimes the greater the potential for fundamental misunderstanding of what was actually taking place, what actually occurred. One of the biggest stories of the year, without a doubt, is the recent decision by the Supreme Court in favor of Hobby Lobby in the so-called HHS mandate case. Now, is this about a closely held company whose the holders, with religious scruples, didn't want to pay for any contraception whatsoever for their employees? Is that true? Because if you scan social media and the various reactions to the Supreme Court's decision, that's what it sounds like. But is that true? And how is the media doing covering the real story here on the HHS mandate? And another recent story, the removal by the Supreme Court of abortion buffer zones around abortion clinics. Joining us to talk about media coverage of these two recent Supreme Court decisions, Bobby Ross Jr. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thanks for having me back again.
What is one of the biggest misconceptions that you and others have noted about Hobby Lobby as a company itself vis-a-vis that contraception for its employees question?
Well, I think the big misconception is that Hobby Lobby is that they refuse to pay for employees' contraceptive coverage. I mean, which is just not true. They provide 16 of the 20, I think, FDA-required contraceptives. They've just refused to pay for four of them, including some that they believe are abortion, could be abortion-inducing drugs.
So is it safe to say, based upon that set of facts, that a common misunderstanding of the case itself was that Hobby Lobby was against contraception per se?
Right. I think there's a lot, you know, there is a big misconception there, and maybe people just assuming that this company is against birth control, and that's their religious objection, is just birth control in general, and that's just not the case.
How would you generally assess the major newspaper coverage of this particular issue?
Well, you know, I was, you know, given that big misconception, my theory was you people in the news media must not be doing your job in explaining the situation. So I actually went and reviewed coverage from a number of major newspapers, from the Boston Globe to the Detroit Free Press, Los Angeles Times, and basically just went in and said, I'm not going to try to evaluate your entire story. I just want to know, did you explain that Hobby Lobby is not against all contraception, that they pay for some birth control? And I was actually surprised that in most of the cases that the news media that I looked at, that they had done a good job with that and had gone out of their way to explain basically that because of their Christian belief that life begins at conception, the Greens see some of these drugs as abortion drugs, but others they have no problem with, and they provide in their coverage. It was, you know, I kind of concluded that maybe in this case the media is not to blame. It's people not bothering to actually read the news stories or to educate themselves like they should on this.
I don't think you gave a grade that was under a B. I mean, New York Times, Washington Post, Boston Globe. You looked at Pittsburgh paper and the Los Angeles
right.
Times. You're covering all the big, and most of them got A's or B's.
Yeah, I felt pretty bad about that. I kept looking, you know, looking for some coverage where I could give a bad grade and do my job, and I couldn't find any in this case.
Okay, so what does this tell you if the major papers of record seem to, at least in their reporting, completely cover that one question, and that is, Was this about contraception or was this about abortion? What does that tell you, at least in the case of the Hobby Lobby decision?
Well, it tells me that people maybe are not reading the news like they should, or not, you know, not going to sources, or, you know, are not bothering to read deep enough into the story to get below the headline, you know, Hobby Lobby wins Supreme Court case, doesn't have to offer contraception. I think it's people not digging below the surface enough. I mean, I personally try to avoid as much cable TV news as I can, so I don't know, you know, I can't speak firsthand on how well they're doing. I'm wondering whether the talking heads on TV are not explaining it adequately. You know, I mean, I would assume that there are some people, you know, on the opposite side of Hobby Lobby for whom telling the full story probably is not to their benefit, and it could be a matter of just, you know, the various talking heads not telling the full story and people not listening to the right people and going and trying to get all the facts.
Another story that you have kind of been doing some grading on is the story of the disappearance of the so-called buffer zones around abortion clinics. What's the basic story, and how would you assess the media coverage there, Bobby?
Yeah, the coverage there was a little, you know, it was pretty good in a lot of cases. There were, I guess, more questions about some of that coverage. I know the Associated Press, I think I gave a D because I felt like in their reporting on that, they kind of favored the abortion rights side as opposed to the anti-abortion side. They gave Planned Parenthood a pretty prominent place in the story in more space than the other side. In Boston, this was a Massachusetts case that was overturned by the Supreme Court, and there was a Fox station in Boston that basically had like a 3-minute report, which is forever on the TV news broadcast on this ruling, and had 5 or 6 talking heads on the report, and none of them at all were on the side that felt like the anti-abortion protesters had a constitutional right to be there and to protest and to be closer than this 35-foot buffer zone that the state had enacted.
You gave the New York Times on the buffer zone, overruling buffer zones story, you gave them a D. Why was that?
Yeah, it's pretty similar to the D for the AP. It was just coming at it from maybe a more liberal media mindset of how dare they. I just got the impression that the worldview was one coming at it from a pro-abortion stance, and thus we need to find out what Planned Parenthood thinks about this and what they're going to do about this and how this affects them, as opposed to the side that's just won the case, the anti-abortion side, and saying, how does this help you in your belief protect life, and how does this help you get your message out to more women who are considering an abortion? They approached it from the other side as if this was a negative thing that had happened, as opposed to just approaching it as a news organization coming at it from, you know, from a fair balance standpoint.
So whether it was the New York Times or the AP, both of whom got bad grades, we'll set aside Boston, the Boston TV station, Fox 25, but those two papers or news outlets, it really was for you not so much a question of did they somewhere in the story talk to someone who was in favor of the court's decision, but the balance of who they talked to, and it sounds like where they put those balancing quotes in the course of their coverage.
Right. I think you're exactly right. And on those specific two stories, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think that was probably the case and the biggest concern.
Other than that, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, others, including CBS's news broadcast, they all got A's and B's. What did you find there that you found commendable?
I just, you know, I liked the fact, you know, to me on the Supreme Court case, you need to report what the court did, what the majority said. If there's a, I think this on the buffer zone case, I think it was 9-0, but I think there was a minority that favored the ruling for a different reason. And, you know, if you explain what the Supreme Court said, if you get reactions from both sides of the case as far as what they think about it, if you get, you know, if you talk to advocates on both sides, to me, you just, on a story like this, you need to fairly and represent all the players and not show favoritism to any of them if you're wanting to be truly an unbiased news source.
And then with about a minute here, Bobby, and both of these stories that we talked about, either the Hobby Lobby or the abortion buffer zone case that the Supreme Court entertained, how would you assess them hitting the religious angle per se, not just the issues or balance of its coverage, but both of these cases as they have connections to religion?
I think on the Hobby Lobby case, some of the news outlets did a lot better job than others. I mean, I kind of gave them a pass if they just explained that on the Hobby Lobby case that the families of both these companies had concerns related to abortion. But, you know, some of them went the extra mile, so to speak, and would explain that they, you know, that their concerns were rooted in their belief in life beginning at conception and how these drugs might affect that.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thank you.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 8th, we're going to talk with Gretchen Passantino, co-founder of Answers in Action, about the martyrdom of the Bab, the Bab being the first of the prophets of the Baha'i faith. Stay tuned. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in southeast Michigan in Rochester Hills. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. That's lciw.org. We gather for the divine service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at lciw.org.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.